my files. I got lots of files and lots of things I've written. And I used to have a secretary who did nothing. Well, didn't do much. She did many things for me. But she used to read magazines. And when she came across something good, she filed it for me. And this is a very unique, long statement, but it take time to read it slowly, maybe two or three times, and you will be truly blessed. I want to say something more about where we read, where Michael read for us in Galatians. That's a pretty strong passage there that he read. But I want to share with you something that God, through his Holy Spirit, led Paul to write for us. He says there, starting at verse 16 of chapter 5, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, Brother Ken, before I get too much further, you're speaking next Sunday, and what book is it you're going to do? He's going to begin, and I'd encourage you to read that. Maybe in those things where you read them this next week or two, and reread it again and again, because you'll be blessed as he leads us through Colossians. The greatest thing you'll ever hear me say, and I don't have much that's very important, but this is, the most valuable thing that you possess physically is this book. Because this is God talking to us. And it's in this book that you find out who and what God is like. And I don't care that you're young or old, it's so important. Make it important in your life. But he talks about the Holy Spirit here, and then he gives the negative in verses 19 to 21. Then he goes back to verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and there's a real list there, "love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness." And we don't get much of that today, not much gentleness anymore. "Self-control, against such there is no law." Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word this morning and on this subject of being a wife and a mother, just like being a father and a husband, these two tasks, which are two of the greatest tasks in the world, we pray that you'd help us to submit ourselves to you and to depend on you and to walk by your Spirit, that our homes are blessed by you. We ask these mercies in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, please. And I want you to follow in your Bible as we go along. I count it a great privilege and an honor to share with you a little bit from God's Word this morning. Being a wife and being a mother, to me, is two of the greatest callings in all the world. And God has adapted you ladies to be that. I know we're living in a world where you're taught by the secular world to rebel at that. But it is the greatest fulfillment for you as a woman to be a wife and a mother. And I saw this in my own mother, who raised eight of us kids. And all eight of us came to know the Lord. And I remember when I was, I think, about 14. And I wanted to go to town, you know, and get in on that Saturday night stuff. There was a show and there was a dance and all the booze and stuff that went on. And she used to go to bed quite early, because when you raise eight kids and there's no running water, and we didn't have the fancy things you got today, she used to go to bed quite early. And for some reason, I thought I'd just check on her. And I knocked on her door, and she said, "Come on in." And there she's laying in bed, and tears are running down her face, and she's smiling. I said, Mom, what's wrong? Well, she said, there's nothing wrong, son. I'm just praying that all 8 of you get saved. And God answered her prayer. But let me tell you, she had to work hard to care for us. And I was the last one of our family to be with her before she passed away. I just tell you this because you as moms and dads have a ministry with each child. Tim could tell me stories about each one of his, so could his dear wife. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. We had taken her to the demolition derby. Ooh. And I remember as a boy growing up, I think I was about 18 or 19, I had to go to young people's and I was late. And I said, I was taking her somewhere and I said, Mom, please don't be annoyed at me because I'm going to drive fast. And Dad was always saying, slow down, don't go so fast. And she says, son, you can never drive too fast for me. But they're different. Her parents are. You know? That's just a little window into why I'm like I am, I guess. Anyways, let's get on to the scriptures here. If you go to Galatians, and we start at verses 9 and 10, and this is all one sentence. And whenever you're reading scripture, look at what's there. It's one whole thought. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, you dear wives and mothers, God is saying, my spirit, if you're my child, is in you. Because it's in me, I can give you the wisdom to submit to your husband and to take on the role of being a mother to each of your children. You're not deficient. There's more than enough power in me by my spirit to help you deal with each situation as it comes. Going on in verses 18 to 21. Now that's 18, 19, and 20 and 21. That's all one thought as well. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Can we read from Ephesians 5, right?
Yes, I am. Sorry. Did I not take you back onto Ephesians? I did mention it, but maybe you didn't jump with me. It's in Ephesians 5, yeah. Oh, sorry. Listen, turn there and I'll read it again, because that's more important than anything I'll ever say. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine. See, here's the same Holy Spirit that wrote in Galatians is now writing in Ephesians concerning being parents. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, the drunkenness of wine leads to wrong living. Being filled with the Spirit leads to what? Right living. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. To be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled and to be led. How many of you wake up in the morning and the first thing you say is, Father, I thank you for this new day. And may your Spirit have control of me in everything I think, everything I say, and everything I do. That's a good way to start today. And God wants to lead you in a practical. It's not it's not that. Some of us get carried away with our thought of the Holy Spirit, that he's some wind up, woohoo, And he's not. He is as real as you are. And God wants to teach you A, B, C, D, E, F, G, if I can put it down to earth, and be with you in the practical things of life. Now, I am a couple of years older than most of you here, and I've seen God do that over and over and over again in my life. I'll point out just one. I was downtown in Africa, in Soweto, and there was a young girl there, just finished grade 7. And I said to her, would you like to go to secondary school? You know, the girl started to shake. And she says, no, I could never go because I don't have any money. She says, my mother divorced my father a long time ago, and she's living with another man, and he drinks all the money he makes. So I went home and I asked my wife, honey, could we take some of our money and pay for her tuition so she could go to school? So I met her and I told her, you know, you can go to school because we're going to pay for your tuition. Well, you should have seen that girl. After she'd been to school for 1 year, come home, and she was just a different girl. Just full of joy, full of peace, full of peace, full of freedom of being who she was. And God wants to do that for you and your children, too. See them become that mature person. What an honor role for a wife to accept from God her role as a wife, who through her submission to her husband, and because he is the leader that she is submitting to, whom God called to be that leader. Just as he called, if you look at our text there in Ephesians, he talks about the husband from verses 25, but up at verse 22, he's talking about the wife, and both of them are in submission to God. And when you have that triangle, God, wife, husband, God, husband, wife, and the union is there, you see the beautiful triangle of God's great blessing. God is a triune God, God Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God wants to, when you use the word God, it's a plural title. It's not just one God, it means the Trinity. It is one God, I should say, but the triune God is there, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he wants to work in us to that end and make our home with that wonderful triangle. What an honor to be a husband, to lead, to care for, provide, and to be tender towards your wife. What an honor for a woman to submit to God's leader in her home, to her husband, and submit to him and to encourage him. Like my wife, I do not think for 1 minute ever thought of me as not being the leader. She always supported me and encouraged me as the leader, and made me a much better leader than I could ever have been on my own. You move on down into Galatians again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if that is evident in the home on the part of the husband and on the part of the wife in their relationship to each other, how precious. But you know, in most of our homes today, and I have this on this overhead here, if I can remember what I was supposed to do with this thing. Nope, that's wrong. Did I do it right?
Do the other way.
There we go. Nope. You're going to have to hit me, so sorry. Now, this is symbolical of a worldly home, where the world is in control of the home. The wife is unhappy, the husband is unhappy, because they're both looking outside of the home. and the kids are confused, the little girl is crying, and that's home. Now, outside of the home is the Christian-related church, and then the non-Christian relatives, and the world. And both the world and Christian relatives are bombarding the home, bringing confusion and frustration. And here you have a couple who are in relationship with God, which will result in a home like this. The umbrella of God's protection and blessing is there. And God deliberately put the husband and the wife like they're holding God's, the arms, you see, and he's holding the husband and the wife and making this beautiful child into a diamond that shines. And he speaks of this in the scriptures as our children's become beautiful in him. There again, where you find a happy home, that happy home is having an influence out in the world and can have that. Let us ask ourselves, in the light of these scriptures, both in Galatians and in Ephesians, what kind of a spirit-filled husband are you? What kind of a spirit-filled wife are you? Who really leads you to act the way you do? See, God can give you the grace and the strength to be, but in the natural you cannot be. And if you're having a good relationship with God and a good relationship with each other, what's going to happen? You're going to enjoy being together. You're going to be at peace and just enjoy being with each other. And I had that privilege to live with a lady who, even in our retirement, and she suffered about 13 years of cancer, our love for each other just got deeper and deeper. And as I had to do more to look after her, it was a privilege. Never once did I ever think, oh, I didn't have this to do. No, it was a privilege to do it because she was who she is. And God says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to whom? As to whom? To the Lord. So in submitting to that husband, you're not submitting to just her, you're submitting to the Lord. Sometimes that's awful hard to do because we men can be miserable creatures to live with. And you might have one like that. Keep loving him and praying for him. But you'd be surprised how God will use you. And the same with a man. You may be with a woman that's a little bit difficult. But love her anyways. God can help you do that and give you the grace to do it. Let's move on to the other role of being a godly mother. In some ways, I hesitate to speak on this because I'm not a woman. And yet I do thank God for the wonderful mother I had and also my precious wife. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Almost sounds like it's something you do just once in a while, all day long. Again, in Proverbs 22:6, we're told why. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go. Because each child is different. And you have to recognize the different needs of that child. Whether you got one or you got 10, Tim, isn't that right? They're all different. And you adapt to the need in each child to help them grow. The word train here has three parts to it. Looks like I died. It has three parts to it. Now I'll tell you what they are. They are dedicate, instruct, and motivate. Dedicate, instruct, and motivate. The child God has given to you belongs exclusively to God. Well, they're my children. No, they're not. Every child is a gift from God. Because he says he gives the fruit of the womb. They're a blessing from him. So your job is to, first of all, dedicate the child to God. And then move forward in the instruction and in the motivation. Children are given to us as stewardship. A stewardship. We are to rear the child, to train them with everything essential to help them to become pleasing to God. While fathers are identified as the parent responsible for setting up the direction for child training, mothers usually do much more of the training than father does. Mothers and fathers need to agree and be united in their training. They need to support each other because children shouldn't be able to run to the mother and to get away with it or run to the father and to get away with it. The parents should be united. I don't know how my dear parents did it. But you go to dad and he'd say, what did your mom say? You go to your mother and she'd say, what did your dad say? Well, if he said that, that's where I stand too. You couldn't get away. You submit. Right, Tim? And that's so important in the relationship as parents in training children, that there be a united front, not a divided front. Remember, fathers and mothers, the Holy Spirit is with you in this loving, caring, and motivating ministry. Children need to be the objects of your tender, loving care. That means their needs spiritually met mentally, emotionally, and physically. Mothers, help your husbands be a real leader of your home. And together, may God help you to raise your children in a way that will bring glory to him. Psalms 31, verse 28 to 30 says this. Pardon me, Proverbs 31, 28 to 30. And this is what is said about a wife. And this is said by the husband. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Notice what else he says. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Because you know, as you get older, the beauty seems to disappear. We get wrinkles like I got, you know. And you look at that face in the mirror and you say, boy, I'm sure glad I don't have to look at that all day. Anyways, let's move on to just one more verse and then I close. Isaiah 59, verse 21. This is a very interesting verse, Isaiah 59 and verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit, there it is again, the Old Testament, my spirit who is upon you, and my word which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouths of your descendants, nor from the mouths of your descendants' descendants, saith the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Well, I thank God for my three kids. All three of them know and love the Lord, and it's a joy to fellowship with them. I say this, Father, as we close these few thoughts, may your Holy Spirit use it in each of these dear dads and dear mothers. And may it help the children to realize the responsibilities their parents have over them. For we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother?
Okay, team, you can come up. We're going to sing one more song here together. Oh, we don't. Somebody here can run that for us. Because Marky's still upstairs, obviously. Any techies around here? Anyways, something is happening there. We don't have a lot of technicians in the room here. Today we're going down. I was just thinking of this as Jim was speaking. We're going down to see my mother. It's her 91st birthday today. So many of you know her. But anyways, the song that we're about to sing, this song is Jesus Be the Center. You know, and this is what we want, you know, as parents or whatever, for Jesus to be the center of our life, as moms or as dads or whatever the case may be. Thank you, Sheldon. And so we'll sing the song together and make this your prayer as we leave today. Jesus, be the center of my life. Please rise up as we sing. Center of our heart, that you'd be the wind in our sails as we seek to show to those around us the God that you are. So just bless these folks as they go through their week, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning.
I was going to play something, but I don't know which one. Be good.